Palm Sunday is one of those funny days in the life of the church. I don't mean funny ha-ha, I mean funny challenging for preachers. It's partly because, for the most part, everybody knows the story really well. I've talked before about the fuzzy felt that we used to have in church, or flannel graph if you're in a post church, when I was a youngster, with the pictures of children in stripy bedclothes waving their palm branches around. And over many years in ministry, I've noticed fads coming and going. And so a little bit like nativity plays at Christmas time, clergy over the years have decided they need to be able to tell this story of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in a different way. And there was a bit of a fad when I was in the parish of using, if you like, a nativity play, but a Palm Sunday play, and live animals and donkeys to ride in on down the aisles of churches. Apart from the fact that it was probably quite unhygienic, it was also quite dangerous, because you could never work with children and animals, is what actors say. And if you've got somebody on a donkey, you've got children and animals in the same place. And if people hadn't learned the lesson from the nativity play going wrong, they kept doing this. I remember being in one church where the minister was very proudly telling me the Sunday before what he was going to do, and it was exactly that. It was a pageant, and the pageant would have had a person playing the role of Jesus on a donkey, coming down the aisle, coming to the front, and then doing a sort of Last Supper tableau. I'm looking at one at the back of the church there. Last Supper tableau up in the chancel. And what could possibly go wrong? Well, apart from almost everything, it never actually got off the ground. Largely because as they brought the donkey out of the horse box outside the church, somebody in a very loud motorbike went past, startled the donkey, which legged it down the road. So there was no donkey, and most of the Sunday school legged it down the road after them into the village. It was a triumphal entry of another sort, as they tried to corral the donkey back in the back of the wagon. The church service never happened. Certainly the nativity play never happened. And the whole thing was disastrous. Never work with children or animals. But this well-known story, this well-known moment, if you like, which launches us into Holy Week, launches us into the Passion of the Christ, is almost innocuous in its familiarity. How do you say something different and challenging about a story that is so, so familiar? How do you give another insight into something that we all know so much about? We know the story of Jesus sending the disciples on ahead. We know the story of him telling them to find the colt, bring it back. If anybody asks you what you're doing, tell them I sent you and everything will be fine. How do you say anything about that that's new? Well, in some ways you can't. And the only insight I was ever given was a number of years ago by another very senior clergyman, a good friend, who said the problem with us, particularly in the Church of Scotland, is we get on our donkeys on Palm Sunday and gallop right past the Passion to the Resurrection. Not the donkey careering down the village street, obviously. Nobody got on that one. But metaphorically, we follow this story from triumph to triumph and miss the narrative, the arc that goes through Holy Week. And so we miss the significance of this moment. And the significance of this moment is that Jesus the Messiah is subverting everything that anyone was expecting to happen that day. We call it the triumphal entry. It wasn't a triumphal entry in the sense that anyone was expecting. It was Jesus coming to Jerusalem, the culmination of his journey across the Holy Land. The culmination of his journey towards the cross. But even so, Jesus could have avoided all of this. He could have gone and done something different. He could have lived in the desert and been a wandering creature. He didn't need to go to Jerusalem. And later on in the Passion narrative, You have the Garden of Gethsemane moment where he prays that the cup passes him by. Is there another way of doing this, even at the last moment? He's asking, praying, discerning. But he doesn't turn away. He carries on. He carries on in this journey. He carries on the colt, on the donkey, into Jerusalem, and subverts all of the standards of triumph, victory, and royalty that people were expecting. Not just the Jewish people, but the Romans, the occupiers, and the Gentiles would have been expecting a messianic figure to sweep in, probably in a charger, dressed in armor, swinging a sword of righteousness, freedom, and justice. But Jesus didn't. He did something else, because his loyalty, his royalty, his status, his messianic status, drew its power from a different source. It drew its power from being God's child. And in the kingdom of God, as we hear again and again, and certainly I'm always banging on about, all of those standards that we expect to see in our world are turned on their head. The last shall be first. The least shall be greatest. Jesus, in this moment, subverts everything that anyone might have expected. And he subverts a sense of triumph. Because it's an entry into Jerusalem. Is it triumphal? He's greeted by adoring crowds. But with the benefit of hindsight, we know how this week is going to play out. We know how this journey is going to continue. We know, as the disciples believed and tried to warn Jesus, that this isn't going to end well. Or that's what they thought. But looking through the lens of this journey, this arrival into Jerusalem, into Holy Week, into Good Friday, as we call it, Holy Saturday, when all was dark, and then the glorious light of Easter morning. Is it a triumphal entry? Or is it a moment on the narrative arc of this amazing story that gives us an insight yet again into the real meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ? That all those things that we think are meaningful, all of those standards that we think are immutable, all of those issues around status, around dignity, are different in the kingdom of God. They're different because God's kingdom is about love and about peace and about justice. And as Jesus goes towards the cross through this moment, we've got to remember that it wasn't Jesus who looked for the cross. It was the world that looked to the cross as a way to eliminate him. It wasn't God's idea. It was a final solution thought up by a world opposed to Jesus' way, to God's way, to the standards and the values of the kingdom of God. Love does not demand a cross. But in the life of Jesus, love ends up on a cross. Jesus could have avoided going to Jerusalem. He could have taken the advice of his disciples. He could have made like the donkey down the streets of the village in my friend's parish. He could have listened to those who warned him about the fate that would surely befall him. But instead of avoiding those things, Jesus enters publicly and loudly. He doesn't disguise himself. He doesn't slip through a quiet gate. He leads a parade. And in so doing, he confronts the powers that are set against him. The powers that are set against the standards and the values of the kingdom of God. And when he chooses to do that, riding on a donkey rather than a charger, confronting his oppressors, he makes the reality of the kingdom of God visible. And by making the reality of the kingdom of God visible, he also makes all of those mechanisms of abuse and oppression visible. Jesus brings suffering to the front. That's why he came. He'd not come to be a mobile monument in stone, a statue, a memorial. Jesus is God's love in fragile human flesh and bone. Jesus is God's passion for us. God's overwhelming love for us. God's risky adventure for us. Is it any wonder then that rather than at the head of an army, rather than wielding a sword, Jesus rode on a donkey and subverted all those other standards? Because as we know from elsewhere, love is patient and kind and long-suffering. It's all of those things. All of those things. And God pours it out to us in God's immeasurable generosity. And the image of that we read about today. Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Think about it as a triumphal entry if you want. That's what it says in some of the headings and some of the Bibles that we use. But it was a triumph of a sort that no one was expecting. And it was the start of this journey through Holy Week as God poured out passion and love for all humankind and all of creation through and in the man on the donkey.